Welcome to PPM Simplifies. This is a weekly podcast that will help you have a better understanding on environmental regulations and how they relate to your industry. In each episode, we'll talk with experts across various industries who will share their insights with you. This is PPM Simplifies. And welcome to the PPM Simplifies. In this episode, we have got a fantastic one lined up for you. We're going to be talking about environmental compliance, and we have got one of the finest guests we could possibly line up for it. We've got Mr. Rick Plummer. He's going to join us here on the podcast. Rick's an engineer at PPM Consultants. Rick's been with us for 27 years. Rick is a principal in the firm. He's one of our leaders, one of our thought leaders, and he has done a great job of developing our environmental compliance program, and it's going to be a treat to visit with him today. Rick, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
Man, I'm good and happy to be on the air with you and our listening audience. I know they're in for a treat today, so glad they're tuned in. So, Rick, let's start at the top. Let's go ahead and talk to everyone about what is environmental compliance. It's a very complicated issue, and so help us better understand what environmental compliance is.
Well, I guess to just kind of put it in a sentence, it's the conformity in fulfilling environmental requirements based off the regulations.
And you know, regulations are really, really complicated, as everyone out there knows. In your estimation, how many different types of regulations are there? Just kind of an average facility. I know this is a loaded question, but how many different regulations would a wood manufacturer, it's a lumber yard, I'm making plywood, how many different regulations do you think those guys have to comply with and be mindful of?
Well, the regulations really are tied to the SIC codes that the facility falls under. You may have an aluminum smelter, or you may have a sawmill, or you may have a plywood plant, feed mills, chicken processors. So they'll all fall under certain guidelines that is set by the EPA and overseen by the state.
And so as you drill into that, what that does is that just creates a lot of unique requirements depending on what type of industry you're in. Is that correct?
That's correct. And also, Todd, it's tied to the equipment that they have on site as well. You know, they may have a wood-fired boiler. And even boilers are classified by different types. You may have one that's run by oil, another one or you may have one that has an undergrate suspension. So, you know, the limits and the emission limits and the operating limits have been set based off of industry standards that have been developed by, you know, research or special interest groups or EPA, you know, what have you.
You know, I'm sure there's a wide variety of calculations and the way that data is, you know, collected. And then when you start assembling these components, that can create some unintended consequences too, I suppose. And on that note, how would a facility determine that they're meeting the compliance requirements?
Well, there's a lot of different ways that they would. It could be through just basic industry standards. You know, there's AP42, there's NICASI. There's different industry standards that's been set. There's also the MAC rule, which is the maximum achievable control technologies. These are applied to different types of equipment when certain emissions start reaching certain points. They're all classified as, it could be a minor or a major source, or it could be a Title V or a PSD. Synthetic miner, whatever, you know. So it's all based off of the emissions they have. Stack testing is another way. Modeling, air modeling, even your water quality models for you know, that's really tied to the TMDLs that's been done by the agencies.
You know, I know you're discussing different monitoring methods that are being used, and you're also talking different media too, because, you know, at a facility, you can certainly have air admissions depending on their processes and what they're doing. You can have effluent water discharges. You can create, you know, solid waste streams that have to be treated and disposed of. So it really does get complex, doesn't it?
It does. And you know, facilities are set up to, you know, sample and do lab analysis, particularly on their water discharges. They are also required to monitor the emissions based off of criteria that was set during a stack test or a performance test. And then there may be just some visual monitoring based off of methods that typically take some kind of a certification or some training to be able to monitor. Some of your monitoring devices could be like looking at temperature of a RTO, which is a control device to help control VOC emissions and hazardous air pollutants. And so you've got temperature requirements set by the manufacturer, and they can also be established during a stack test. Oxygen, for example, is used to see if you're compliant with CO, carbon monoxide. Opacity monitors could be used for looking at particulate matter. So you're doing a stack test and you're trying to meet a limit that's been set. And so when you do the stack test, what you'll do is you'll see where you are. If you're below the limit, then you're going to measure the opacity, or you're going to measure the oxygen, and then that's going to set the basis for your monitoring device. So you have to monitor that, and the agencies will require you to look at it, because it's going to fluctuate over time. So they'll look at, you know, 1 hour block averages or 3 hour block averages. They may look at 24 hours. It's really just based off of their CAM plans and the regulations.
So I want to hit a couple of things. And again, man, that's an excellent insight. We discussed, as a facility comes together and has different processes, and they try to determine, you know, what their waste streams are. Do they look to the regulatory body to help them establish their monitoring limits, their permit limits? Is that how that's done?
Well, it's a mixed bag. Like for water discharge, the agencies are going to look at the water quality models that they have in house, and they're going to run those, and they're going to establish. They're going to also look at air modeling to see, you know, where your property boundary is and what they're trying to look at. You also have certain areas have more stringent emissions that they're trying to you know, just keep you below. So, you know, it's a mixed bag. And then you have devices that you may have over time. It may be a new device that's come out, a new piece of equipment, and you're just trying to establish some limits. You may look at the AP42 guidelines for combustive units or combustible engines or whatever you may be. So those have been established over time, which are more on a conservative side. So what industries will do is they'll start looking at, okay, well, maybe we should do some stack tests to see where we are, to see if we can lower our emission factors and try to get our emissions lower based off of real-time data and based off of that. But, you know, aside from that too, you also have to make sure you maintain your equipment in top working order, because, you know, it's mechanical and it's gonna fail. And you could have poor combustion in a boiler, or you could have poor combustion in a furnace, or, you know, something along those lines. So you have to have some standard operating procedures. You got to have some site specific monitoring plans, and you got to have your, you know, your startup and shutdown and maintenance plans as well in house based off of experience, based off of your equipment, based off of manufacturer specifications.
Man, that is good stuff. And you touched on a CAM plan So again, what is that and how is it used by industry?
The acronym is a continuous assurance monitoring. And so in your CAM plan, you're going to be required to do quality assurance. You're going to have to do some calibrations. You'll have to have a trained, certified technician to come out and to calibrate that. So they'll be using, it's kind of like a pH meter where you're going to use different media to calibrate that pH meter. Well, in the case of an oxygen monitor, you're going to be looking at zero span gas, and you're going to be span gas, and then your regular span gas, opacity. You're going to be calibrating all those. Some of them have what you call, they may have an actual CO monitor, or they may actually have a particulate matter monitor, you know. And so in the case of a scrubber that's scrubbing out particulates, you know, you're required to maintain a certain pressure, differential pressure. So all that goes hand in hand with in your CAM. And your CAM will tell you what your basis is. Is it a 3-hour block average? So some of them will be written, say, like for an RTO, you may be required to monitor, you may be required to keep your temperature above, let's say, 1400 degrees Fahrenheit. And the CAM plan will say, all right, we want you to base compliance on a 3-hour block average. And what I like to do is I like to request that we give the operator a chance to get things either in compliance or shut the system down. And so we'll write into the CAM plan, you got 30 minutes to get your temperature back up or to shut the unit down. It could be in an idle mode even, you know, so you can permit it that way.
And that's, you know, that's a great tool because again, there's a lot of variability out there and that really helps, you know, customize what you're doing and how you're monitoring it and tracking it. So you're processing, you're producing, you're in compliance with your permits. To our listeners out there, is there any variety for reporting deadlines from state to state?
Oh, yes. In Louisiana, for example, you've got set deadlines. The only thing that changes would be the effectiveness of your effective date of your permit. So you get generally from the effective date, you have 5 years to renew the permit, and you have to send those permits in. They had to be submitted to LDEQ 180 days in advance. Same thing on the water side. For example, like the semi-annual reports are due in Louisiana on the 31st. Okay. Your solid waste permits or your solid waste report is due on August 1st. Well, in Arkansas, your semi-annual report and your annual compliance certification report will be due based off of when your permit. So if you've got three facilities with three different permits, you have three different dates that it has to be submitted. Alabama is like that, but in Alabama, you can consolidate your reporting times based off approval from ADM. In Mississippi, you got you have a January date, whereas in Louisiana, it's a March date. So it does vary. You just got to know your states.
And that's the key. You got to know your state and even your area. I guess it's possible, Rick, for some states to have small municipal areas that they could have a certain reporting requirement that the state does not have. Is that possible?
That's correct. That's correct. You've got, an EPA, your hazardous waste report goes in every other year. In Louisiana, it goes in every year. So, you know, the federal guidelines for the tier two reports, that's your community right to know reports that you turn into all the fire departments are based off of 10,000 pounds of material. In Louisiana, it's 500. So again, you just got to know your state, got to know your regulations. If, you get people moving in from one state to the other, you know, they take some little ramp up time to get used to the state requirements.
Absolutely. Well, Rick, this has been an absolute delight. It's been fun to walk through some basics with you, and there's so much more there. We're going to be doing follow-up podcast series to break it down even further. But if someone wants additional information, the easiest way to find us is to hop our website, www.ppmco.com, and there's a contact us form, and just put your information in, and Rick or one of our other professionals, myself, will get back to you in pretty short order. Rick, as we wrap up, is there any last words of wisdom you want to share with our audience?
Yeah, Todd, whenever you're ready to come on over here and help out on some of these compliance reports, just holler at me.
Boy, oh boy, that would be a house on fire for sure. Rick, again, thanks for your time, and thanks for helping us understand the topic a little bit deeper, a little bit better. To our audience, thank you for tuning in, and hope you enjoyed, and tune in next time for our next episode of PPM Simplifies. Thank you for finding our podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at ppmco.com. To stay updated on new episodes, feel free to subscribe to PPM Simplifies on your podcast app of choice. Until next time, this is PPM Simplifies.